Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to learn to identify, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but can thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what's going to be on our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, I know that you know that God's Word is important. It is important to you, and it is important to others through you. It's particularly important to the three generally underserved groups of folks in our community and within the body of Christ. That happens to be our single parents, our children, and our senior citizens. Now, we've already talked about helping meet the needs of our single parents. And last week, we laid a foundation for helping our younger children. Well, this week, you are going to hear some general thoughts and some specific examples that are going to help you lead older children ages 13 and up. Then we're going to respond to some real-world questions from parents as they work to financially teach and train their older children. And boy, here's something you're not going to want to miss. According to the Better Business Bureau, there is a new Instagram scam out there designed to scare you into sharing your social media credentials. You're not going to want to miss this. And finally, one of our favorite Christian leadership authors and speakers and teachers, John Maxwell, well, he is going to share his thoughts on the word abundance. So, stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together with the Lord. You're not going to want to miss a single minute. So let's start by making sure that He is the one that is driving this time together, okay? Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for meeting with us, and teaching us, and challenging us again today. Will You please give us ears to hear and the faith to put into practice all that it is You have planned for us today to Your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. As we kick off our radio seminar time together today, recall that God gives you His Word for two very good reasons. Do you recall what they are? Sure you do. First, He expects you to get what He has to say to you up and operating in your life. And then He expects us to allow His Word to flow through us to be a blessing to others, to include our single parents, children, and our senior citizens. Today, you are going to discover some thoughts about how to financially train your older children from ages 13 and up. And remember, we're only cutting the tops off the trees here. The good news is that bookstores and the internet, man, there are all kinds of resources all over everywhere from authors like Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey and a whole lot of others, great materials designed to help you as parents teach your children how to handle the material areas of their lives in ways that are pleasing to God. As a matter of fact, if you come to our How to Raise Money Wise Children God's Way seminar and workshop this fall, we're going to give you some of those resources, some of those materials. More information on that yet to come. The point is this. You are learning. Here on the radio, you are learning a lot about what God has to say about how to manage His resources, correct? Sure you are. And as you learn and begin to apply what you learn, you need to keep your eyes and ears open for chances to help others learn and apply as well, particularly the children in your life. Remember what we said last week? It's a whole lot better to be proactive in this area, to teach good financial habits while those kiddos are still young and living at home, rather than having to work to correct ungodly financial habits later. Now, we've already talked about our younger children. Now, what about older children and young adults? Well, what about those folks from ages 13 and up? I mean, do these folks need some help as well? You better believe they do. What kind of help do they need? Well, let me give you some thoughts. First of all, they need some instruction. They need some instruction. What kind of instruction? Well, they need all of the help and all of the training, financial teaching, training, mentoring, and coaching that you wish that you would have had at their age, correct? For example, your children need instruction on how to live on a budget. Sure they do. So teach them to budget and spend from the budget, not the checkbook and not the credit card. Now, I want to camp out here but not on the budget. There's materials out there you can learn to get on a budget and help your kids get on a budget. But here's what I want to say. Helping them live from the budget and not the checkbook and the credit card, well, to me, that means that a young person, well, when that person graduates from high school and moves out of the house, he or she already needs to know about how to live on and how to balance a checkbook. Hey, now, wait a minute, Bob. Did you just say that I'm supposed to give my child a checkbook? A checkbook? Yep, I got to believe that's true. Absolutely. Listen, while your child is still in your home, while he or she is still under your protection and supervision, he or she need to learn how to use and how to balance a checkbook. And not only that, oh my goodness, listen, that child should also have a credit card. Oh, ouch, Bob. Did you really say give my child a credit card? Mm-hmm. Yep, a credit card. Let me ask you, do you think your child is ever going to use a credit card? Mm-hmm. Sure they will. Now I got to know that this is going to get me in a heap of trouble with all the Dave Ramsey folks. But here is my logic for making sure the child has a credit card while they are still in the home and under your supervision, okay? Given that your children will one day use or try to use a credit card, it would seem good to me, it seems logical to me, that you'd better teach them all about the pros and cons of credit cards and credit while they're still under your control and protection. Does that make sense? For example, you can teach them to follow the same three basic rules for using a credit card that you follow. Okay. What are those three rules that I'm sure you follow? What are they? Well, here they are. First of all, first rule for using a credit card, you're only going to use the credit card for things that are on your budget. This presupposes that you and your children are going to be living on a budget. So the first point is that you're only going to use the credit card for what you are going to spend from your budget. Number two, you're going to pay that credit card off in full every month. And number three, the first month you cannot pay it off in full, you're going to stop using it until it is paid off. All right? Now, another thing, any young adult ought to know about how to go about buying a car. Particularly tricky in today's economy, isn't it? Or maybe even buying the right kinds and the right amounts of insurance. My friend, if you do all of this and a whole lot more, I promise you, listen to me, I promise you, there's another set of parents out there somewhere that are going to rise up and call you blessed when their child marries your child. So consider leading your children through all of the ins and outs of things like opening up and maintaining a checking account, a checkbook, and how to use and manage credit and credit cards. Okay? Now, in addition to all of that, young adults also need some good vocational direction, don't they? Consider for just a minute Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He shall stand before kings and authorities. He shall not stand before obscure men. My friend, skills and abilities are defenses against layoffs. You know that. They really are. They are not foolproof. Oh, no. But they sure are better than most anything else. So, what are you going to do? How are you going to go about giving your child vocational training and education? Well, you are going to use resources within your school system or maybe even your public library system, or you can give Crown Financial Ministries or the Dave Ramsey Organization a call. Listen, they all have some great vocational materials for young adults. Listen. Young people need instruction, they need vocational direction, and they need premarital counseling as well. You mean premarital counseling? They're not even engaged. Yep, okay, listen. Actually, they need counsel, including financial counsel, before the marriage ceremony and then after the marriage ceremony. I got to tell you honestly, if I was a pastor, now I'm not a pastor, but if I happen to be a pastor, I wouldn't marry anyone without making sure that that couple had some great premarital counseling and coaching and training, and that I was the one that gave them that counseling and training. Therefore, I can make sure that it included financial coaching, counseling, and training. Okay? Then I would also not agree to marry them unless they agreed to come in for coaching and counseling after the marriage ceremony. You see, I would be clear that I would want them in my office every 2 to 3 months after they got married for at least a year and maybe even two. And I would bring them in individually. And then I would bring them in as a couple. Now, why would I want to do that? Why? Man, if you are married, you know what it was like. Before the marriage ceremony, everything looks rosy and it looks great, but it's after they're married that they need help to live out what it is that they're learning. Now, as we close out this time together talking about helping to raise money-wise children, what I want you to do is to remember the statistics that show that 85% of the people who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, well, they do that, listen, they do that before the age of 18. 85%. And it is estimated that over 50% of the world's population, over 50% of the world's population is now under the age of 18. So what does that mean? Well, it means that you as a Christian parent and you as a Christian leader, you need to prepare for the harvest, because that harvest is going to be truly plentiful. You need to work with your children and other children within the body of Christ to help prepare them as leaders, to help them learn to lead their generation. You see, if their lives are grounded in biblical truths, then they are not going to be carried away like so many of their peers. They will be ready to help reap the harvest of their own generation. You need to help them prayerfully learn to be able to reach out and offer hope to a generation that is otherwise without hope. My friend, remember, particularly if you happen to be a mom, just remember that on those days when you are frustrated and you are tired and you don't feel at all appreciated and the house is a mess, the laundry is stacked over here and over there's a bunch of dirty dishes in the sink, and you have two young crumb grinders clamoring around your ankles for attention, what you need to do is to remember that on these mornings, on these kind of days, you need to remember that of all that you see going on around you, the only thing that you are going to see in heaven are those children. The bottom line to working with your children is this: the fate of our nation rests on how well we raise this next generation. It really does. And what we find is that most TV and TV advertising tends to sacrifice our children to the world. Until we as parents receive the Son of God as our personal Lord and Savior, and then understand and apply and begin to pass on to our children what it means to do the same, to include to live by His financial principles, until that happens, we will continue to see our children sacrificed on the battlefield of the world, and our country and our children are going to suffer the consequences. Okay, now let's follow up our radio seminar time about teaching our young adults with some very specific real-world questions from real-world parents who have real-world young adults. For example, what about this first question? Bob, I want to encourage my children to work, but I do not want to overemphasize the financial reward and therefore help to develop a greedy attitude in them. Here's my question. At what age do you think children should start to work? Well, that's a great question, Susan. I hope you're listening today. A couple of thoughts come prayerfully to mind right off the bat. Please understand from my own experience, and you need to understand we all do, that if we're going to pay our children to work around the house, well, what we need to do is to pay them what the job is worth. And that to me means be very careful not to either overpay or underpay for work, okay? All right, now, having said that, from my own personal experience, how soon should a child be taught to work? Well, personally, I got to believe if I had to do it all over again with our children, honestly, I'd start at about 1 to 2 years old. Yep, you heard me right. I got to believe you can start as early as 1 or 2 by teaching your children the discipline of cleaning up after themselves and doing some specific age-appropriate, listen to me, child-appropriate tasks. Now, early on, that would probably include such things as, oh, I don't know, picking up their toys. And then as they mature, you know, you can give them jobs, both paid and unpaid, that can get progressively more complicated. Now, these might include such things as cleaning out the garage and washing the car, maybe mowing the yard. You get the idea. Eventually, they should be allowed to work outside the home as well. You know, perhaps at a fast food store, maybe a garage, retail store, or how about mowing the neighbor's yard? And I agree. Do not overemphasize the money, but don't underemphasize it either. You see, God emphasizes money in His Word. In His Word, right? As a means to test our commitment to Him. How your children use the money that they're going to have is going to provide a good insight into their spiritual commitment as well. Remember, the Bible says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Great question, Susan. Thank you so much. Here's another good question. Bob, do you think it's a good idea for children to work their way through college or to pay for at least part of their college expenses? Now, I got to tell you, this is a question that really hits home for a lot of folks today. It really does. However, since all children are different, the same advice isn't going to apply to everyone across the board. It just isn't. But in principle, I got to believe that children should work, okay? They should work not only while they are in college, yeah, but also in high school, at least during the summer times. Many students go to college only because their parents are footing the bill. Now, you know that this is true. If these students had to work to pay their tuition or to help pay part of their tuition, they'd probably drop out. And actually, many should probably drop out. Not everybody needs a college education. We all need skills. They could go to trade schools. They could learn how to do a lot of other things. Not every child needs a college education. Now, I have to say that I worked all the way through my college experience, but I had it easy. I only had to work to cover my extracurricular activities. You know, I had to work to be able to date and to buy clothes and keep my car running. And by the way, oh my goodness, that's a good topic. Having a car the first years of college for most students is a great distraction and really a bad idea. My folks paid the tuition and the room and board and the books, and they were able to do so, and I was really glad they did. Helping to pay my way even extracurricularly, it really helped me appreciate my education and what it was like to associate work with reward. And I got to tell you, on graduating, I was really able to get a good start in the military as a military officer because of my work experience during college. Proverbs 16:26 says this, "The appetite of laborers works for them. Their hunger drives them on." If your children are helping to earn at least part of their own way, their education will almost always be more important to them. Although many of them may not appreciate it initially, I tell you, they're going to look back on it with a special sense of accomplishment. Now, having suggested all of this, I got to tell you that each family is going to have to decide what is best for that family itself, right? And by the way, once a husband and wife decide together, they need to share that decision with their children. You need to give them plenty of time to help financially prepare for their college education. Now, let's see, how are we doing on time? We're okay. So Ben, I would like to talk to you about your question. It's a great one, and it's a more common question than we might think. Here's the question. Bob, we have been managing our finances poorly and setting some bad examples for our children. Unfortunately, we really have. But we do want to change. We are not sure how quickly we can reverse our course and be successful. Bob, here's my question. How fast should we go? And what should be our first step? And again, this is it's a much more common question than we might expect. But let me prayerfully share with you some thoughts that I got to believe are going to help you, Ben, okay? First of all, under no circumstances should you try to change everything as quickly as possible. Why? From personal experience, because if you do, you're going to likely frustrate yourself and your children, okay? To make some financial changes at home, you as parents must make some changes in yourselves first, okay? In yourselves first. As a first step, for example, a couple should thoroughly understand God's principles for managing money. It should take a minimum, I got to believe it would take a minimum of 12 weeks, maybe about a half an hour to an hour a week to learn these principles. Now, we'll come back to that in just a minute. Number two, second, you need to develop and live on a realistic budget. This will probably take another 3 to 4 months. Third, bring your older teens into the process and help them understand the family budget, which leads right to the fourth step, which is to, yep, you guessed it, help your children establish and live within budgets of their own. Ben, I've heard it said that if it doesn't work in your life, don't try to export it. It's a good principle for parents to remember in applying financial goals to their children. Make sure that whatever you teach them is at work in your life first, and then help them do the same thing. But don't try to change everything overnight, okay? And finally, one final thought. According to the Bible, you have hope. Listen, others have faced the same situation, and the Lord has honored their prayerful work to begin to learn, apply, and pass on what he has to say about finances. However, one last suggestion, get some long-term personal individual help from somebody who is trained to do just that. And I would suggest contacting either Crown Financial Ministries or the Dave Ramsey Organization, okay? Remember, you can do this. You can do it, and there are those that can help. My friends, these are some great, great questions. I hope they've helped all of us today. So, great radio seminar and Q&A times together. Now it is time for one of my favorite times of the day, and that's when we get to spend a minute with Maxwell. Today, Christian leadership author and speaker, teacher, trainer, and coach John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on the word abundance.
Hi, this is John Maxwell. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. The word for today is abundance. Do you know some people that it just seems that everything they do and everything they see is plentiful? It's kind of like every day they see the possibilities, the opportunities in life. Now, if you know someone like that, it's because they live what I call a life of abundance. You see, we see things not as they are and people, but we see things as we are. And so when a person has an abundance mindset, they look for abundance. And guess what they find? They find abundance. Now, we also know people that have a scarcity mindset, and they live in the same real world that a person that has an abundant mindset lives in. You see, if you think scarcity, you'll discover scarcity. If you think abundance, it'll be there for you. So the world that we create is the world that we live in. It's really a matter of choice. It's not how the world really is. It's really how we are. How I view things is how I do things. So today, view your world as an abundant place, and you will do things that creates abundance. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow. What I heard John say is that how we view things is how we do things. And therefore, we should start each day with an abundant mindset and then watch our blessings grow. Oh, fabulous word. Thank you, John Maxwell. My friends, including my business friends, according to the Better Business Bureau, there is a new Instagram scam designed to scare you into sharing your social media credentials, okay? You see, scammers know that your online reputation can dramatically affect your business, and you know that, and they know that. That is why the scammers have come up with an idea of fake copyright infringement notices that prompt you to share your social media credentials. This is how the scam works. Listen. You receive an official-looking email or maybe even a direct message on Instagram or some other social media platform, okay? And this message claims that you have violated the platform's copyright terms. You must complete a form immediately or your account is going to be deleted within 24 hours. My friends, if you provide your login credentials, scammers are going to be able to take over your social media accounts and impersonate you. They may also try using that same username and password to access other accounts of your own, okay? They might even send you follow-up messages asking you to verify other accounts, such as your emails. So what are you going to do to keep away from this scam? First of all, you're going to stay calm, all right? Whatever you do, don't panic. They're hoping you're going to panic and react rather than respond. Secondly, you're going to verify the problem. You're going to look at those accounts. You're going to go to the host account, look for notifications to see if, in fact, you have violated some principles. So you're going to verify. And finally, you are going to get to know the policies of any of the social media platforms that you use. If you know how Instagram or Twitter or Facebook and all the other platforms handle copyright violations and disputes, you're going to already know the proper procedures. You're going to know that you followed them or know that you haven't. So stay calm, verify, and get to know the principles. These are going to keep you away from social media scams. And that about wraps up our time together today. But before I go, I want to let you know that coming this fall, we're going to be offering our How to Raise Money Wise Children God's Way and our new Widowhood, What to Do Both Before and After, seminars and workshops. And if you would like us to bring either one or both of these free seminars into your church, please give me a call, 678-386-2640. That's 678-386-2640, and we'll talk about bringing these free seminars and workshops to where you are. Now, that does wrap up our time together, so let's close as we started, and that's with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together and teaching us today and for each of the days yet to come to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road, financial freedom, God's way.